Oral History of Don Hensman. Interview number 1. Interviewer Sarah Cooper. Date July 18th, 2002. Place the Mosley House, completed in 1999 on Linda Glen. Time 1 p.m. The first question I was wondering about is, where were your grandparents born and when?
Grandparents, all from Nebraska.
Uh-huh.
That is on my father's side, of course.
Uh-huh.
And I presume my mother's as well. Omaha is all I remember.
All right.
As it, you know, that's where I was born. And of course, 1924, which is probably a question you're going to ask.
Which is when you were born,
yeah.
1924. And do you know when your grandparents were born?
No, I have no idea.
And they were both sets in Omaha.
Yeah.
So you lived in Omaha for the first how many years of your
first
life?
4 years.
Okay.
And I have very few memories as a child up to 4 years. And then my family, I had two sisters, and my parents all moved to Denver, Colorado.
Oh, why did you move there?
I have no idea. It's just at the age where you're just not concerned, it was kind of dramatic, and that's about all I remember. And I have no idea why we moved to Denver. And I have a few memories of Colorado. I know my father one time had a restaurant there. In fact, it was called a Chicken Inn. And I remember Cheeseman Park, and I remember Easter egg hunts in Cheeseman Park in Denver. And going up the mountains, Rocky Mountains, and other than those small memories, that's really about all. A lot of snow and cold, and at 8 years old, we decided, actually at 8 years old, my father came out to California to kind of test the waters, as it were,
uh-huh.
And that was in 1932, and called my mother, and she came out on her own, left us three kids with, I'm not sure who, relatives, some of her friends, I just don't remember. But she came out and approved, and I do have fond memories of my two sisters and I leaving Denver on a Greyhound bus, 1932, coming to California.
Wow, what do you remember about that Greyhound bus trip?
One thing I will never forget, it was a long, tedious ride, but I'll never forget when a drunken Indian got on and got very ill in the back seat. And we had to exchange buses. And for some reason, 8 years old, that's the only thing I remember about the whole trip. My sister, my older sister, was 4 years older than I, and 12. And that was, today, that would unheard of to have three kids, 12, 8, and 6, traveling on their own. But we made it.
Wow.
Arrived in Hollywood in 1932.
Was it just such a different time that that was okay for three kids
to
travel?
Yeah, it didn't seem to be a problem, and that we were not what you call a wealthy family by a long shot. We were, you know, very middle class, and so, and I was, you know, very happy family, no problems and no concern. Everything was very naive about everything. It was fine, but that's pretty, sums up my childhood.
What did your father do for a living?
He was, he worked for a construction news company, and he was really a traveling salesman in a way. He traveled to various construction sites throughout the country, throughout California mainly. Mm-hmm. And I guess in some cases, western states like Nevada, maybe up in Oregon. But he'd go around and get all the information about new jobs coming up, and potential work, and also getting subscriptions for the Construction News magazine. So that this was a very good magazine, so it gave new people and even some of the older people ideas of where projects were going to be and coming up. Dams, major construction, major earth-moving projects.
And he had done that in Nebraska and Denver as
no,
well?
No, I'm not. Other than having a restaurant one time, I'm really not sure what my father did. Strange enough, he was not a professional.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. And your mother, she stayed at home?
She was a housewife.
Huh.
And how very good mother. Yeah.
Yeah?
Great mother, yeah.
How was she a good mother? What did she do?
Well, just everything right. She took care of his kids. And
yeah.
We were the main concern, and fed us well, and clothed us well, and we were all happy. Can't ask more than that.
No, you can't.
Never had any problems.
How did your parents meet each other?
You're asking something I have no idea.
Oh, that's fine.
If my sister were here, she's the one who gets into all that sort of thing. She'd probably know my younger sister, who died a few years ago.
Oh,
she was into that, and she keeps going back to Nebraska and keeping all her history and her records of the relatives back there. But I'm too much involved in architecture and current events and that sort of thing.
What was her name, your younger sister?
Pat.
And your older sister?
Joanne.
Joanne
was she died when I was still in college. She had an aneurysm.
Oh.
And was married and two wonderful daughters. And then my other sister, Mary, died just about 3 years ago. And she had five sons.
Wow.
So, and I was still, well, four of the sons are still around. I'm very good terms. I see them frequently and communicate all the time.
That's great. Just a little bit more about your parents before we go on. How many siblings did your mother and your father have?
Well, actually, we had three daughters. One died prematurely, or very, very young age.
Uh-huh.
And I was not pretty much aware of it. I just knew that there was another daughter.
Oh.
But so just the Joanne, Pat, and myself.
And how about your parents? How many did your mother have? How many siblings?
One sister.
And your father?
Aunt Bonnie is still around, strangely enough.
Aunt Bonnie?
Yeah, Bonnie's still around, living up north. Father, I think, had three brothers. And I've lost communication with them. I think they're all dead. I'm quite sure they are.
Sure.
But it's been a long time since I've communicated with them. I left that up to my little sister.
Right, Pat. Were both your parents born in Nebraska, that you know?
I am quite sure they were, almost positive, yeah.
All right. So your family moved from Denver to Pasadena because your father was part
We moved to Hollywood.
Oh, Hollywood, yes, I'm sorry, yeah. You said that.
Yeah.
Because your father was with this construction news company?
Well, I think he was just seeking new pastures and trying to find out, you know, it was 1932 and after some tough times and...
Sure.
Luckily for me, they chose the Hollywood area.
Why and, luckily?
I think he went to Long Beach first, and they had that horrible earthquake at that time.
Right.
I'm quite sure.
Yes.
And due to that, he still felt it was a good idea to move out here. What went through his mind, I'm not really certain. I mean, he was too young at that time.
Yeah.
It's all, you know, conjecture. But luckily, he brought the family out, and so we set up in the Hollywood area down in Fountain, Normandy, and had a little house there, and I started in grammar school.
At which school?
At Ramona Grammar School, right down to Santa Monica, Normandy, and still there. A lot of memories, I mean, as a kid, paper drives and a lot of fun and games, only a couple blocks from my home, so it was pretty close. And then went to Leacon Junior High School, and that was just the typical sort of routine education, and some nice teachers, and no problems at all. I walked there, no big deal. And then from there, I went to Hollywood High School.
And what do you remember most about growing up in Hollywood? What kind of place was it at that time during the Depression?
Well, I fortunately was a pretty energetic kid. I mean, we lived across the street from a drugstore and a grocery store and a beauty parlor, barbershop, and I worked in every one of them. I worked in the drugstore, delivering, stocking items. I'm talking 8, 9, 10 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
12. And I worked in the market next door, a little tiny market. And I even cleaned up the barbershop beauty parlor on weekends. And I had a magazine route. I sold Liberties and Saturday Evening Post and Woman's Home Companion, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So I had a every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, get up early, deliver magazines and work in the very, so I was, that's what I really remember most of all. And I got to know a lot of people because I, down there was a big sort of a commercial area down in Santa Monica and Western, a lot of dime stores and Sears Roebuck, and I got friendly with a lot of the people who worked there. And it was just good getting out and getting meeting adults and all.
Oh, sure. And so you were working from about 8 on?
I never stopped from 8 on, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And was that because of the depression and financial?
No, and nothing really to do with the depression. Really? Just it's the way my I am. I mean, I just, luckily, I'm not a lazy individual. So
no.
It, I mean, it was very lucky for me that, and I wasn't pushed by my parents or anything else. I mean, all the money I made, I kept. Or spent, or whatever, on little luxury items.
What sorts of items?
Oh, like turkey drumsticks and things like that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Just, I mean, you really made pennies, but it was just enough to go to the movie when I wanted to, which used to cost 5 cents and 10 cents at that time, and buy a hamburger anytime I wanted, which used to have, I remember Wednesday mornings, there was a place called the Nickel Grill on Western, and after delivering magazines in the morning, I'd go in to get a couple of hamburgers at 6 in the morning at the Nickel Grill, if you can imagine. I just, those things kind of come back to me now. But true story.
That's great.
But, so I was pretty industrious. But, and so I, in junior high, I did the normal routine in terms of physical education and got good grades and everything was fine and simply wasn't any problems. And but in high school, I did get involved playing basketball, and I joined a club. And I, at that time, because I was working around, I was able to save some money. I bought my first car, which was a Model A.
Really?
Which I paid all of $45 for.
What year?
Well, I think I was 28. Let's see, what? It was a 28A, but that was a year when I was in. I was 16 at the time, so 1940. My first car.
Wow. Was it black?
No, it was a beat-up Roadster, which I'd always wanted, a Ford Roadster with rumble seat. And one little dent in the fender for $45. You couldn't get too much. It ran. And so that was my first car. And I was able to get around in that. And about my last year in college, in high school, we moved up to, my older sister got married, my father was traveling all the time, we moved up to Franklin, Vermont.
Okay.
But even though I was out of the territory, I stayed in the, I graduated from Hollywood High School. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we actually graduated from Hollywood Bowl, which was quite a thing.
Really? Can you tell me about that?
Oh yeah, it was quite a thing. Of course, the maybe there was 150 in the class, I can't remember, but we just take up one little corner of the bowl.
Sure.
And all the graduation ceremonies were there. It was just like 100th of the whole bowl, but that's where we had our graduation. We were Hollywood High School, and therefore the Hollywood Bowl is a place to go and graduate from, so it was quite a ceremony.
Did anybody play music for you while you graduated?
Oh, well, we had, yeah, it was typical. We had the band played, and it was kind of typical.
The bowl didn't look too different then than it does
it's
now.
It's almost identical.
Yeah.
I think it changed the stage and some of the sound effects.
Right, the balls.
The big balls, the acoustical aspects. No, it's pretty much the same.
Wow, that's really exciting.
Yeah. And it was right after that, well, when I graduated, see, it was... That was right when the war started, December 7, 1941.
Oh, sure. Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor.
Right.
And I remember that the day I was driving in my Model A down Santa Monica Boulevard when Franklin D. Roosevelt announced that war was declared. I remember it very well. And somehow, one of our neighbors, I wasn't quite sure what I hadn't been trained for college. I mean, I hadn't studied. We weren't wealthy enough that I had planned to go to college. I thought I had to go out and go to work like everyone else.
Uh-huh.
And I had a neighbor that was a superintendent of Department of Parks and Recreation.
Oh.
And
what was the name of your neighbor?
Robbins. Mm-hmm. Just comes to me. And so he said, well, why don't you get a civil service job? And I was only 17 at the time, and so I took the examination, passed it, and I was accepted because the award started, and I was the youngest civil service worker ever in the city.
Oh my gosh!
Normally you had to be 18, normally, but I was still 17, but they were taking whoever they could get.
What did the test involve? What sorts
of
things?
Oh, I mean, like basically things about gardening and then wheeling a wheelbarrow and things like that. I mean, I had to go back so far, but it was not something it took a scientist to figure out. So anyway, but I got that, and I did work in a couple of parks for a while. But I knew that I was going to go in the Navy, and then I volunteered right away. That was my plan.
Why the Navy?
Just seemed more romantic to me, and then the Marine seemed a little too rugged, too tough. The Army just didn't seem a little pedestrian. Mm-hmm. The Navy just seemed a little more glamorous to me. And other than that, it was automatic, and so I signed up. And on December 31st, 1942, which is a year after the war started, I went to inducted in the Navy down to San Diego.
Where in San Diego?
San Diego is in the Naval Air. Mm-hmm. Naval. Well, actually, I signed up in the American Legion on Highland, just above Hollywood High School.
Uh-huh.
Just below the Rose Bowl, there's American Legion station there. And I signed up there, and I took the physical here. And so I was finally called in on New Year's Eve. I'll never forget. It's been first night in boot camp.
Wow. So, in San Diego?
In San Diego.
Yeah.
The Naval Station.
Sure.
And they had the big, and that was, I think about, forget how many weeks, but it was 6 weeks or so, I just don't remember, but going through all the boot training, and the war was just getting going well then, and then they sent me up to San Francisco to be, and not knowing where I was going at that time. Then they put a whole batch of us on a big ship, sent us overseas, South Pacific.
Wow, which islands?
So I spent 2 years on the Espiritu Santos and the New Hebrides. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know where that is.
Yes.
Just below Guadalcanal.
Yeah.
So, and in the jungles. So that was, fortunately I was 18 at that time, and young and enthusiastic and energetic, and this was like a great, you know, wonderful Boy Scout trip or something.
Wow, what did you do there?
Well, of course I was a seaman when I went over there, and then it was Aviation Repair and Overhaul Unit.
Oh.
And all of the planes and equipment and things that had been damaged and shot at and everything else up north was brought down to the closest island, which is the Espiritu Santo. And I luckily got into the parachute loft and became a parachute rigger.
Wow.
So we all slept in Quonset huts. I'll never forget that, 24, and all these little Quonset huts, 12 on each side, and cots. And then we'd have to breakfast, we'd go through the jungle to the parachute loft, and all these parachutes come back from up north, or we would open them up and dry them out and repack them and repair them if need be. So that's for 2 years of repaired parachutes.
Huh. So you're glad that you had chosen to go into the Navy?
Oh yeah, it was great for me. It was very exciting. One of the things I remember, because when you pack a chute, you have to sign it to date it, because parachutes have to be repacked at least every 30 days.
Really?
Well, they were all made out of silk.
Yeah.
And silk is what you call hydroscopic. It absorbs
water.
Moisture.
Yeah.
And it's facing the South Pacific. It's really just kind of moist down there and damp. Mm-hmm. So if you don't open it up and dry it out, then it all stick together like, you know, wet paper.
Oh.
Just won't open. So,
Didn't know that.
Yeah, so we would repack all of those, and I enjoyed that. And then I'd also get to, I got my first flight, a memorable flight. I was wandering around one day, I'd had a day off, and pilot came and said, do you want to, how'd you like a hop? That's terminology for taking a, going up. And I didn't know at the time, but it was a TBF, a torpedo bomber fighter.
Oh.
I had no idea because I was in the parachute loft and I was not in the aviation part. And sure, he threw a little helmet to me and I jumped in the back. And I didn't know that you're supposed to plug the helmet in so he could communicate. He was the pilot in front, I was the back. And I also didn't know that he was a hotshot pilot checking out the planes just been repaired before they sent it back up north. So he's a test pilot. And all of a sudden, we just went into a dive, and I thought, this is it. And along with that, he was testing the guns, and I thought that was the motor falling apart. Of course, I about died. And truth here, I was 18, 19 years old, and I was, this is it. And of course, I looked down, I could just see the rocks coming up, and he pulled out at the last minute. And that was my first flight ever. And my face was green and purple, and you could hardly get my hands off the whatever I could hold on to.
Oh my gosh.
So he knew when I was white when he got out of the cockpit, but I thanked him and he got a big laugh out of it, the pilot of course. So it took me a long time to get back in the plane after that.
I bet. When was the next time? Do you remember?
Oh, after the war. I did fly in and what they used to call the seaplanes, that aerial seaplanes, did fly in one of those that had the guns in there. I can't remember the name of them right now. But that was, I got one in one of those, and where they had the big turrets in the front and the back, and it was actually a big seaplane.
Wow.
That was a great experience. But other than that, I never did it again until I got out of the Navy.
What made that such a great experience, the seaplane flying?
Well, it's a much bigger plane, and it's slower, and it feels safer, and
oh.
Exciting, and it was just dramatic as hell. So, and it wasn't in combat or anything, so it was perfectly safe.
Sure.
And you get a little fatalistic about that, all that sort of thing anyway. But, so I really had some good buddies in the Navy, and we were pretty close. Had a good time. Sometime once in a while, I'd kill a wild pig out in the jungles, and then we'd have a big barbecue. And
how did you kill the pig?
I don't know. Somehow, not me.
You didn't kill the pig.
No, they would somehow lasso it or spear it or something, and there were a lot of wild boars around there. And so, and of course, we ate well. They had a big cafeteria, and it wasn't really well, but I do remember. I'll never forget because a lot of our food we got. From New Zealand, which is New England, the mutton.
Oh.
I was never cooked too well, and all these smelled kind of funny, so I always remember I took a big bottle of A1 sauce with me every time for dinner, and I'd flood everything with it, A1.
Was it hard to get A1, or was it?
No, you could buy it at the ship store, and so on. I think I did anyway, unless my parents send me a lot of it. I'm not sure. I think I could buy it there. But I do remember that, but everything, that was a great experience for me, and I would never regret it. And the, as devastating as the war was, I was really a beneficiary of the war because it was because of World War II that I was able to go to college.
On the
GI Bill?
Sure.
So I had not prepared myself for that, and that was a very fortunate thing.
I want to hear about college, but can I ask you a couple more questions about your high school before
Sure.
we go on? I was wondering, you had said that you were in the civil service for, I guess, about a year and a half after you got out of high school. Which parks did you work at in L.A.?
Well, that was playground, Department of Playground and Recreation.
Were there specific ones where you worked, or was it just
I remember the first one was Rancho, I was going to say Rancho Mirage, no, it's called Rancho Playground, El Rancho,
oh.
Something down on Pico or something.
Okay.
I was just there for a month or so, And then I think I went to Griffith Park for a while.
Really? What'd you
kinda
do there?
Shifted around. Well, you know, it was just maintenance and mowing the lawn and raking. It was a playground and recreation stuff.
Okay.
And I guess taking care of some of the courts. And it was kind of vague. I was, I do remember being as eager as I was and young, and I was out working like they'd tell me what to do, and I'd get out and have it done in no time. And one of the old characters there would say, Don, slow down. You're making us look bad. You don't have to work at it. So it was, I always remember that, how these guys just took it easy, and of course they did not hurry and knew they'd get away with just doing things in time. That wasn't my cup of tea.
So you didn't slow down?
No, I just kept going, and I was really happy to get into the Navy and get out of that. I didn't really plan to make that a career long, but everybody knew I was going to go in the service, and so it was a job, and I was helping out in some way, and gave me something to do.
And you were waiting until you were 18, too, so you.
Well, I could have gone in. I don't know if I had to be 18 or not, but I guess that's the reason.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was 18 in October, and I signed up then, and it took a couple of months to. You had to go through the physical and the signing up and the checking up and this and that. And so that's when in November, December, I went in the Navy. So.
Great. Did your father's profession, did you ever work with him in construction?
No.
So did it relate at all to your later choice of architecture?
It had nothing to do with it whatsoever.
Okay.
No. I wasn't guided academically by them at all. I was just, I was really on my own. It was. No, nothing against them, but my dad was having a hard, rough time keeping the kids and family in shape, and my mom did a great job, and so that was all very nice and very memorable, and no sad parts, that whole thing. It was a very happy childhood.
Good. Did you visit Pasadena as a child?
Well, no, not really. Just really stayed around. I was really working all the time
as
a kid,
yeah.
and my father was gone a lot of time traveling all around the country,
mm-hmm.
and so most of my recreation was just all local. I guess about the most thing when I do remember is I was a member of the YMCA, and I played basketball at the Y, and I was on their team, and we did some traveling of that, and I do remember. Their coach and a bunch of us climbed, going up to Yosemite and climbing Half Dome.
Really?
One of my early claims to fame, climbing up in the face, not the face, but the side of Half Dome and getting up on top.
Wow.
And that you could do at that time, and I just saw something in the paper the other day about people going up.
I did too.
And, but I did that, my God, that was 60 years ago.
Oh my God.
So, and, but that was fun, and going from Half Dome to Death Valley, and day. That's, well, I'll give you a lot more thought. One of my great memories of high school.
That's wonderful. And did architecture affect you as a child? Did you notice architecture?
Strange you should ask that, because I have my sister, before she died, gave me a framed drawing that I did when I was, I think, 8 or 9 years old. Of a Presbyterian church out in Santa Monica and Normandy.
Really?
It's still there. It's a drawing that I did of that. And I did had to write a letter, one of my projects in probably sixth grade, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I remember I wanted to be a baseball player and architect.
Huh.
For some strange reason, never dreaming I would become an architect.
Wow.
But I'll never forget that. It was very pronounced in my life. And I'd completely forgotten about that drawing, and like I can say it's hanging in my wall right now. It's slightly faded, I even spelled on the down the bottom Presbyterian. I spelled it wrong, but I Presbyterian Church. So it's not bad.
Did you notice other buildings in Hollywood? Was the observatory up in Griffith Park?
Well, yeah, was it up? I used to hike up there, and I lived in. Normandy, used to climb up Normandy up through the hills, Griffith Park, and watch it during construction.
Wow.
So that's very important in my life, yeah.
Really? What do you remember?
Just going up there and knowing it was an observatory and being fascinated by it and the scale of it, and that was really quite a structure at the time.
Huh.
and not a commercial building at all, but an observatory and planetarium.
Yeah.
So I was not aware of what all the ramifications were, of course, but still significant in my life. I do remember going up there a lot, mainly for the hiking of it and all that.
Sure.
And watching what's going on.
Sure.